Good morning and welcome to our St Nicholas Church Facebook service on today, Sunday the 29th of August. And today we're beginning our new series looking at the book of James. And our reading today comes from James chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. So I begin reading at verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder if you've ever been given a present that in the end you haven't used. I'm sure over time we've all received gifts that we've been touched to receive, grateful for the generosity that was shown in giving them to us. And yet after weeks or perhaps months or even years, we've become aware that we haven't really used them. Well, for me, this passage from James in this opening chapter is all about gift, but it's about how to appreciate the true value of a gift. And to do that, we have to do more than simply receive it, simply be grateful for it. We need to unwrap it. We need to take it out of its box. We need to use it. We need to begin to appreciate its true value. And the opening verse of our reading talks about gifts and about the giver. Every good and perfect gift, says James, is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And getting specific, James then immediately goes on to name the greatest gift of all. He chose, James says in verse 18, to give us birth through the word of truth. And I'm sure he's talking here about new birth, about our spiritual birth, about the beginning of our renewed life in Christ, which came about through the word of truth, through the good news, the gospel. So every good gift comes from the Father, but the greatest gift is new life in Christ. And I believe the rest of this chapter goes on to explain to us what happens when we unwrap the gift, when we unwrap the gift of new life in Christ. And James gives us two main ways in which this is going to affect us. If we choose to unwrap this gift, then firstly, this gift will affect our heads. And by that, I mean our physical heads, our ears, our mouths, our tongues. And I love the Message translation of verse 19, which says, lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. And you know, I think that's not an order that would necessarily come naturally to many of us. But this gift of new life in Christ is very practical. I mean, it has an effect on our heads. It is something which leads us to listen before we speak. And, you know, I'm grateful, actually, that the book of James, that the Bible does bring up this subject of anger. It does talk about anger because, of course, anger is a human emotion. Anger is a natural emotion. And I've been reading quite a lot recently about how anger, in fact, forms part of the body's defense system to protect us against attack. We can imagine that perhaps in the caveman days, you know, if we'd been hunting and we had a piece of meat and then another predator, I don't know, a wolf, I suppose, or some animal in the forest had come towards us to take that meat away, that, you know, the anger would have risen up. And really that would have been very key to our survival. Anger is what would have given us the adrenaline to be able to fight off wolves, other predators, or, you know, other threats in the wild thousands and thousands of years ago. And of course, we're not in that situation now, but, you know, I've just been reminded recently that nevertheless, anger is there to protect us against attack in different ways, to help just maintain healthy boundaries. It's a bit like a tripwire, isn't it, that goes off, that sends off an alarm in our heads when our boundaries are being crossed. To live healthily, we need to be aware to some extent of our anger. And when we feel angry, we need to take note of those emotions. We need to find healthy ways to express that anger. And there's that verse, isn't there? In your anger, do not sin. And which is helpful because it shows that they're distinct things. Anger isn't sin in itself. Although, of course, like many things, it could lead to it. I think we can be aware of anger. We can even express it in a healthy way, just as we can obviously express it in unhealthy or destructive ways. And I think James here is trying to warn us against the potentially destructive power of anger. Yes, it's an emotion we need to learn to express healthily. And in fact, in the Bible, anger is sometimes attributed to God himself. But ultimately, this verse reminds us that our anger is not the same as God's. And whatever we are going through, we will all ultimately need a righteousness of God, a righteousness from God that finds its roots in something much more significant, something much deeper even than man's anger. That's a righteousness which can only ultimately be gifted to us by Christ himself. The gift affects our heads. And James, in fact, goes on to give the example of people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves, go away and immediately forget what they look like. And one commentary points out that this was, of course, quite possible in an era when most people would not have been able to afford self-portraits and most people would not actually own a mirror. So if someone were, in New Testament times, to come across a mirror, then however long or intently they looked into it, seeing at last their natural face, then of course pretty soon after they probably would have forgotten what they looked like. Something which, of course, seems impossible to us, you know, in this day and age of selfies and cell phones and our own image constantly appearing on social media, in friends and family's photos, in houses where mirrors confront us at every turn. We all know what we look like, but most people in the ancient world would not have done so. But James says here, the remedy is not to just stop at looking when it comes to the word of God, but to go on to doing. And James says in verse 25, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. And by doing it, he's of course talking about doing, really, the word of God. The gift which God has given us is this new life, this new birth that comes from the word. And of course, part of unwrapping that gift of new life is unwrapping the word. It needs to be unwrapped. As James says in verse 21, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And then in verse 22, do what it says. So the gift of new life, of new birth, affects our heads, but it also affects our hearts. And the second place that this passage goes, I believe, is going to where our heart is. And I think this passage is asking us, ultimately, are our hearts in line with God's heart? Because I think doing what it says means both walking away from some things, as we see in this chapter, and walking towards others, really walking towards the heart of God, so that our heart beats in tune with God's heart. James says in verse 21, get rid of all moral filth, the evil that's so prevalent. And later in verse 27, he talks about keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, these sound like quite strict commands. What seems to be coming across here is simply commands to not do something. But I think we need to remember that they're accompanied by positive instructions. That instruction in verse 25, to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue in it, doing it. And then further instructions in verses 26 and 27. Keep a tight rein on your tongues and look after orphans and widows in their distress. And I think the question raised by James chapter 1 is whether our heart is spilling over into things like uncontrolled anger or having this unbridled tongue, or into an unconsidered life, as it were, or whether our hearts are in line with God's heart. Something that happens, James says, as we look intently into that perfect law that gives freedom, verse 25, as we listen in verse 19, and ultimately as we pursue God's heart for the most broken, for the underprivileged in society, those who cannot help themselves. And James gives kind of the starkest two examples here, orphans and widows in verse 27. And in our own context, I think, you know, this passage reminds us that, yes, God's heart is for the broken, and God's heart is for the refugee. And I'm sure all of us have been distressed by the scenes that we've been seeing in recent days on the news, the situation of Afghanistan and of the plight of refugees, both those who have managed to escape from Afghanistan, but of course those who are still in that country, and many in facing great danger. And, you know, as I've been reading this passage, actually, it's just prompted me to look at the different Christian organisations who are working to meet the needs of people both in Afghanistan and of refugees even coming to our own country. And I've put a link on the Facebook page of just two of those organisations, one of which is Tear Fund, who are working on the ground in Afghanistan to bring urgently needed medical supplies, food and clothing to people who have been displaced from their homes. But also here in the UK, there is an organisation called Welcome Churches who set up something called the Afghan Emergency Fund. And they're seeking to work alongside local churches who are in areas where refugees have been housed. And again, trying to help in practical ways with food, with clothing, with help. Please do have a look at either of those links if you're interested in knowing how to get involved in helping address this situation. And, you know, reading this chapter has just reminded me a little bit about the why of the things we do, even in our own church at St. Nicholas. And even as this week, as the community larder opens up once again, as we begin once again to distribute food from local supermarkets and wholesalers to our local community, actually this passage reminds me that, you know, why are we doing that? Well, why? Because it's part of God's heart. God is the giver of good gifts. He's given us new life in Christ, the greatest gift of all. And as we unwrap that gift, may we find that it changes our heads, our ears, our tongues, our response to different situations, but may we find that it changes also our hearts, so that our hearts are brought in line with God's heart. And I just want to close today with a prayer that is coming back to that situation in Afghanistan. I believe it's a prayer that that expresses what God's heart is for that situation, for people affected by that situation. So let me read this, a prayer for Afghanistan. O God of mercy and of peace, we hold before you the peoples of Afghanistan. Be living bread to those who are hungry each day. Be healing and wholeness to those who have no access to healthcare amidst the ravages of the pandemic. Be a true home to all who have been displaced. Be open arms of loving acceptance to those who fear because of their gender, ethnicity, religious or political views. B. Peace to those engaged in armed conflict and those who live within its shadow. Turn our hearts and minds to your ways of just and gentle peace. Open our eyes to see you in all acts of compassionate care. Strengthen our hearts to step out in solidarity with your suffering people and hold us all in your unfailing love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.